Fox, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. At the UN Security Council today, an American trauma surgeon talked about Gaza's collapsing healthcare system. Dr. Feroz Sidwa worked in Khan Yunis.
Every day, the distinction between combatant and civilian is erased. Most of my patients were preteen children, their bodies shattered by explosives and torn by flying metal.
Israel claims it killed another Hamas leader, correspondent Rami Innocencio.
Mohammed Sinwar, the younger brother of Yahya Sinwar, who was killed late last year, has now been killed in Israeli strikes.
The FAA says this could be the busiest summer in 15 years. In Turkey, they're considering fining passengers who unbuckle their seatbelts or open overhead bins before the plane comes to a complete stop. And the European Union is considering allowing airlines longer flight delays without having to compensate passengers. Stock futures are higher. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammy McCormick.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A Wisconsin senator might be a big reason for the federal budget reconciliation bill being blocked. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
Senator Ron Johnson predicts he and his Senate allies can halt President Trump's signature budget bill, demanding more aggressive action on spending cuts and deficit reduction. On CNN this week, Johnson said that we're mortgaging our children's future. He also said it's immoral and it has to stop. Johnson criticized the bill for increasing the deficit.
Meanwhile, the Department of Health Services is highlighting how federal SNAP changes caused by the Trump administration's budget reconciliation bill will affect Wisconsinites. Here's Joanne Krulatz.
Wisconsin Medicaid Director Bill Hanna says those enrolled in the program are already living on the margin, and small dollar changes will force them to make very difficult life choices between choosing health care or choosing food. Hanna says the cuts would cost Wisconsin approximately $314 million every year and put 90,000 state residents at risk of losing SNAP benefits.
You have a chance to pedal through the past with the Portage County Historical Society. They're hosting a guided history bike tour through Stevens Point on Sunday, June 1st at 2 p.m. This 2.5-hour tour will give you a unique perspective as you explore the city's history. Space is limited and advanced registration is recommended. Tickets are $20 for PCHS members and $25 for non-members. The tour will meet at 2 p.m. on June 1st at the Beth Israel Synagogue Museum parking lot. The Southwood County YMCA is hosting their Step Into Summer June Challenge. If you're ready to move more this month, members can sign up at the YMCA front desk and aim for 250,000 steps in June. You'll have a chance to win free Rafters baseball tickets. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers complete the sweep. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, another dramatic win for the crew. Last night, it was Christian Yelich and a walk-off grand slam home run in extra innings. Today, Caleb Durbin with a sac fly to center field that drove in Sal Frelick in the bottom of the 10th. The final, the Brewers beating the Red Sox 6-5 at AmFam Field, completing a three-game sweep of Boston. The team has tomorrow off before heading to Philadelphia for a weekend series against a tough team, the Phillies. Here in Green Bay, Packers OTA continue on the offensive line with Elgton Jenkins holding out for a new deal. Right guard Sean Ryan moved over to center.
I think we're confident in him. He's been training like this for a couple years now. So one of the benefits I would say that we do in regards to how we practice by splitting the fields up, you're going to get more reps in less amount of time. I mean, there's a lot of tape to watch.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. In Green Bay with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated showers this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy tonight, to low in the low 50s. For tomorrow, partly sunny, maybe a pop-up storm and highs in the low 70s. Heating up this weekend, 70s and some 80s. Lots of sunshine and it stays dry. Currently 57 degrees.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, LoveLost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin, Sarah Rodriguez, joins us to talk about the state budget going through joint finance and another compelling edition of What's Worse. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who does his own stunts, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Great to have you with me. We got a great show tonight. We're going to talk about, I got one word that's going to describe probably the first half hour of this show. And it is a topic we need to talk more about. It is an American pastime. It is one of our favorite foods. I'm talking about, of course, the hamburger.
You can't get better than that.
It is national, Conrad, National Hamburger Day. This is not regional. This is not just something we're practicing here on Washington Street in downtown Green Bay. This is all over. People are celebrating the hamburger today. We're going to talk about hamburgers, and we have a hamburger-related question of the night, which is coming up. Lots of stuff going on. I can take this off my list. We've got, I did not time my gelato very well. I got here, a few minutes early, because we had a lot of recording to do, and I thought I'd have a nice half hour to enjoy my gelato. So would it be weird, like, could we push the show just about 20 minutes and let me finish my gelato? Is that an option?
I don't think that's an option.
All right. So last night we had some technical issues. I don't want to dwell on them, but I could have wolfed down gelato and people would not have been as likely to hear me slurping.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Really fun show. Great that you guys are here tonight. Our pal Matt Miller is going to be here at 6:35 to talk about last weekend's mammoth box office take. The movies are back. It appears at least Hollywood, for the time being, is back. I know there's production issues going on in the state of California, which affects all of us. But for now, we appear to be coming out of that that pandemic slump when people weren't going to theaters and production was halted. It feels like, and it seems like, everything is catching up finally. And people are going to movies again. The really big, great, well-done movies are finally hitting the theaters. Not that there haven't been a few in the last few years, but this last weekend, so far from last weekend, we are up 30% from where we were last year at this point in May, Memorial Day weekend. And Lilo and Stitch and Mission Impossible 8, The Final Reckoning, crushed records for a four-day weekend, a two-film combined take. They beat Barbenheimer. They beat the biggest take at the box office for all the movies combined was $314 million in 2013. There was like a Star Trek and Fast and Furious and one other movie. Hangover 3, I think. And this past weekend, they took in like $342 million. And they're setting records, too, overseas as well. So very exciting. It's good that movies are back. People are going back to movies. I just love it. We're going to talk about all of that with Matt Miller. He is a Milwaukee-based film critic, and he writes a column at A Man About Film. You can follow him there. Matt is always fun to talk to. We're also going to break down Mission Impossible and what we thought. And Matt saw, I think he saw The Accountant 2, and he saw another one I didn't see. Oh, Final Destination Bloodlines, which has gotten really good reviews. It's still in theaters. It came in third place last weekend at the box office. So Matt saw that film. We'll talk about all this with Matt. He's always fun to talk to. And then this is a really cool thing, too. In hour number two at 7:20, Dennis Graham is going to be here. He is the founder and producer of Rockonson. This is a garage band contest for kids, ages like 7th grade to 12th grade. There are 10 finalists that are going to perform at Summerfest, and we're going to talk about it with Dennis. We're going to find out more about the competition. It just sounds like so much fun. We talked to him briefly on Bar Band Friday night about a month ago. Terry Barr brought him on for a few minutes. But tonight we get a little more time with Dennis, and we'll find out about his operation and everything that is cooking at Rockonson. Great name, too. How do you like that name, Conrad?
I absolutely love it.
I couldn't do better. What do you call it? Music Wisconsin?
Melodies of Wisconsin.
Wisconsin lyrics. None of it works. Rockonson, he crushed it. And it just works out, you know? So that's great. So Dennis will be here at 7:20. Matt at 6:35. By the way, Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, they showed a quick close-up. I think I mentioned last night there's like a 30-minute recap in the movie. It's told in a narrative. It's not just highlights of other movies or like last week on such and such. It's done through the narrative, and it's really well done. But I will say, if I found a flaw in the movie, it was just that I couldn't wait for the actual part eight to get going. And once it does, it's great. And even the lead up is great, especially if you haven't seen the other Mission Impossibles. But there is a quick flash of Ethan Hunt in his history, and his driver's license appears on screen and says, Ethan Hunt, Madison, Wisconsin.
How about that?
I got way, way more excited about that than I should have. Like, everybody's from somewhere.
Yeah.
It's a fictional character, but it was still cool to see Madison, Wisconsin on there. So that was just a fun thing to see during the film. And when are you going to see it, Conrad? You really have no excuses.
I'm definitely going. This weekend, I'd say, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good to know. We also have to read a text. I'm going to try to find this from Eliza. She was a guest on the show last Thursday, and she sent us in this nice text. And last night, we were so packed and playing catch up, I wasn't able to read it on the air because it's kind of a longer text. Where is that? Is that in the chat, the Nightlight chat?
Yeah, I can send it to you.
Please do. Eliza was a fun guest and a great member, new addition to the team here in Northeastern Wisconsin chapter of Civic Media. So here's that text. She says, hey, Pete, it's your new Australian bestie, Eliza, calling in from Green Bay. I want to change my answer that I've told you. Wait, what was her answer? What was the question?
It was a pre-recorded show. I think it was about musicals, maybe, or not musicals, films produced or made in Australia.
Yes. Perfect. Okay. She said, of course, looking for a LeBrandy is a classic. Any Australian born up after 1980 will know it and love it. But there's something that your listeners need to know about, and that is an Aussie series on Amazon Video called Deadlock. And it is this kind of half tongue-in-cheek murder mystery set in this tiny town at the bottom of Australia in rural Tasmania. Oh, I love that. And if you've seen Top of the Lake set in New Zealand, it's kind of making fun of that and the whole kind of Scandinavian small town mystery genre. I love this. And I think it's one of the best series ever made. They just wrapped filming season two, so you can watch this and love it and know that there's more coming, which we know is a good feeling. Thanks to you both. She's thanking you, Conrad. Did we thank her? I think we did.
Thank you, Eliza, for texting in. It said a voice note, so...
Is that what it was? Because I didn't know where
Maybe
we got
it. It was on the voicemail.
So what is this show called? Deadlock. I'm going to have to check that out. I didn't know that other show she was talking about either. There is another show with Thomas Jane set in Australia. It's a murder mystery. I'll have to find out the name of that, too, and ask Eliza if she's seen that. But this sounds like a pretty cool show. I love the title, too, Deadlock. Thank you, Eliza, again. All right. I think we need to get to our question of the night. What do you think, Conrad?
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, in honor of National Hamburger Day, not regional, what are your favorite burger toppings? What are you putting on your burgers, folks? We got a whole summer of burger eating ahead of us. I go burgers over brats. I can have like one brat and then I'm like, okay, it was good. I like the brat. I don't have to have multiple brats over the summer. So I tend to go burger.
I like burgers more too, because you can get more protein out of the burger.
Is that true?
Well, it depends what kind of beef you use. Because if you use like, I use like 93.7.
Oh, that's the sirloin.
Yeah, that's the good stuff.
That is the good stuff, but the burgers are less juicy. But maybe that's good. Maybe you don't like a juicy burger.
You know, actually, that's true, because I made burgers out of that a couple weeks ago, and it was good. It wasn't as juicy. And then I went to a festival, and I got a gourmet burger, which is probably 80-20.
Okay.
And yeah, my pan was just filled with...
That is what I think restaurants, I think they use the 80-20 because of the fat and the the juices.
Yeah.
I find a happy medium. I go with ground chuck, 85% lean. But when I was a kid, man, I don't know where this was, but it was like you could buy less than 80-20. It was like 60-40 or something like that. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I always, even as a kid, I'm like, I'm steering clear of that. But I do like the ground chuck. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. In honor of National Hamburger Day, what are your favorite burger toppings? That is tonight's Nightlight question of the night. Let us know, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app. Very easy to use. Hope you have it. If you don't, you should. And if you're watching on the stream, you can send your stream comment, too, through YouTube, Facebook. What else, Con?
Twix.
WGBW website. WISS website. There's all kinds of way to Nightlight. And if you're there, give us a like or a follow if you're so inclined. We always like a thumbs
definitely,
up.
Definitely, yeah.
We love a thumbs up. So I don't know. What are you going to do? You go first tonight.
It comes down to what type of burger is my favorite. It's a mushroom Swiss.
Yeah,
I love sauteed mushrooms on it. But on top of that is still lettuce, tomato, some onions, and then you got to top it off with some mayo.
Yeah. You put mayo on the mushroom and Swiss? Is that the typical topping?
I don't think so, but I like that's what I add to all my burgers is that. But if it's not a mushroom Swiss, all the same ones I said, those will be on my toppings. Yeah. I love mushrooms on it, though.
Here's what I'm working with. My favorite burger I've ever had is at a place called Superdog in Chicago. It's a drive-in. They're still there. They've been around for decades. And it's the car hop. You know, you hit the buzzer. They come out and they take your order. And they have something called a super cheesy. And they have that real green relish, great cheese, grilled onions. And I'm one of those guys. I know we have a text from our pal Rich Tallarico, who is not a fan of raw onions. But I like both. I sometimes I'm in the mood for raw. Sometimes I'm in the mood for grilled. But the super cheesy at Superdog is great. Dottie Dumplings Dowry has phenomenal hamburgers. And I think it was ranked number one in the state by our friends at Up North News. Christina Laurie said they sell, 100,000 burgers a year? They only have like 19 tables at Dottie's and they sell 100,000 hamburgers a year. That's incredible. But they have a great combo too. I'm going to go jalapeno, bacon, blue cheese. And occasionally there's this kind of like New Orleans or Southern jam they put on this burger at a place called the Rail House in Marinette.
That's you turned me off with the blue cheese, but the other ingredients sound really good.
Well, I don't need the blue. I like the blue cheese, but I don't always get it. It just depends what, but I do like jalapenos on a burger.
That jam sounds amazing.
Oh, it's so good. It's just not right. All right. So there you go. Share with us, folks, your favorite toppings, if you would. We have a phone call, Conrad. We can get this in before the break,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
All right.
Ollie from the Northwoods.
Ollie, how are you?
I am fine.
We got about, we got about 45 seconds. I'm just letting you know.
Oh, you need big hands for this one. you got to have a big burger, lettuce, tomato, onions, bacon, and extra pickles.
Oh, the pickles are nice. That's a great touch. And that's your favorite. Is that what you do all the time, Dottie?
This is Ollie, and that's what we get at Ollie's Burgers.
Awesome call. Thank you so much, Ollie. Have a great night. Eat a burger to celebrate.
It sounds good. Bye-bye.
All right, my friend. Thank you, Ollie. All right, we're coming right back. We're going to read your texts. We got all kinds of stuff, folks. You are here on a great night. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Oh,
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Data shows data that after a child turns, nine in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Well, hello and welcome in to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. I'm Austin Thomas, your radio broadcaster for tonight, for tomorrow, and for the rest of the season. Super excited to be back on the airwaves as the Rafters are back home here at Witter Field, ready to end this two-game losing streak, a mini streak at that, but they want to get back into the win column for the first time since last season. They lost the first two against the Green Bay Rockers, the first one at home, the second one on the road, and that was last night's game where they dropped it 13-1, an unfortunate loss for them, but they aim to get back on track today, and they're going to be doing so against a new team, the Wausau Woodchucks, one of the biggest rivals for the Rafters. And Wausau heads into this game with a 1-1 record. They're going to be looking for the first start from their pitcher for the game, Ethan Jezerski, going up against Drew Thompson. Initially, it was supposed to be Tripp Brown going on the mound for Wausau, but that got switched up last moment after an injury arose where he was no longer able to go. So instead, it's Ethan Jezerski, the starter, and of course, we'll break that down for you in a later segment here in the pregame show. So don't go anywhere. We have a great interview coming up next where I get to talk with Rafters assistant coach Eric Robles. So stay tuned for that. Starting lineups and, of course, the starting pitcher breakdown coming up next here on the Rafters pregame show on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Meet Jeff. He is having a party. Unfortunately for Jeff, Mother Nature had other ideas. Don't be like Jeff, cold and wet. Call Party Envy Rentals today for any party, big or small, at 715-465-0122.
Make your party even better with Giant Backyard Games. Party Envy is here for your graduations, weddings, corporate picnics, and more. Make your event the talk of the town with Party Envy at 715-465-0122.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a good recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open. We'll tell you something good.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hey, baseball fans, are you ready to swing for the fences in your career instead of warming the bench? By joining Skyward's award-winning team, you'll put education technology solutions into the hands of school leaders who serve over 7 million students around the world. Innovation, collaboration, and fun are all a part of the Skyward culture. So what are you waiting for? Step up to the plate and apply today at www.skyward.com/careers.
You're listening to Wisconsin Rapids Rafters Baseball on WFHR.
Wisconsin Rapids Rafters pregame show here on WFHR. I'm Austin Thomas, your radio broadcaster, and joining me in the visitors clubhouse right now is our assistant coach, Eric Robles. And well, I say joining us in the visitors clubhouse, we were just sitting in the stand, so I got a little bit of a chance to talk to him, but got cut off by some PA music. So you got a little bit of a chance to talk on the air, but we're going to reintroduce you to the fans in your first pregame segment. First question for you, you know, how are you feeling today? It's a little bit wet outside, but how are you?
I'm excited about the day. I'm excited to see how we respond about these last two games, you know what I mean? You're only as good as your next outing, so the opportunity of a game today is a blessing. And rain, snow, sleet, whatever it may be, sunshine, it's a great opportunity to be here, so it's awesome. It's awesome.
And you've been in Wisconsin Rapids for about a week now, and, you know, you're getting a chance to get out on the town a little bit. How's it been so far for you?
It's been really good. I could say the Rat Pack is loyal here in Wisconsin, in the Rapids. And showing face, it seems like most of the people around town have either been to the field or already were at opening night, and they're excited about the product that's presented to them. The game, the chance to see these young guys do what they love to do is this game. So that's a good thing.
And obviously, you've had a little bit of a chance to get out on the town, but has there been any specific places you've gone more than the others? You mentioned the Y earlier a little bit.
Yeah, so the Y is a consistent place where me and Coach Ziggy, we get our morning workouts in. We try to, you know, at least four times a week, and we do see our players there. We see our loyal fans, and it's a good time there. But besides that, I made a stop into Whiskey Rapids, and that's always a good time at night. You know? We haven't had too many chances to go there, but I know those opportunities are presenting themselves sooner than later.
Oh, yeah, plenty of time throughout the season to get to know the town a little bit more. But obviously, first couple of games into the season so far, unfortunately been a couple of losses, and the bats have struggled a little bit. What have been your takeaways from the first two games? Obviously, still a little bit early to have massive takeaways, but what are some of the things that you've been working on and that you've liked?
You know, just trying to get these guys comfortable in the box again. Some of these guys, maybe they're fresh off of 100-plus at-bats from the spring. Some of them, maybe not. So we're kind of dealing with both ends on it, and it's just a comfortability about being around these guys too, around these new teammates, and just allowing them to be themselves, you know? Some of these guys might be pressing, trying to show something that they want to be, but we know who they are, so we've got to break them out of their shell to present themselves the right way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I was talking to you a little bit about this earlier today when we were kind of preparing for the interview, and Brent Gallegos, a guy who's followed you from Butte College and a guy who maybe feels a little bit more comfortable around you and taking more tips, and he's excelled in his first two games here, 3 hits, he leads the team. What have you seen from him, and then how do you think that that's going to translate your coaching style with some of the other guys on the team as the season continues?
Well, not just with him, just with any ball player, but I've been lucky enough to be around him from the spring on to these last couple games, and with him, it's he has all the talent in the world, just like the rest of these ball players, but it's about sticking to the process. And your process is specialized to you, who you are as a player, and how you go about your business, what are you thinking about. And I'm big on the mindset of, you know, being a confident player, walking and talking confidence. And I think at this point in Brent Gallegos' career, he's walking and talking it, and now we get to enjoy the fruits of it. You know, I get to see, I've gotten to see it for 50 plus games now, and now the fans get to see it, and now it's going to be a good time for him and myself. And yeah.
So what kind of goes behind bringing a player's confidence forward? What are you working with them to do? Is it breathing exercises? Is it, you know, something like that?
It is very much mental side. I think this game is, the famous quote is, this game is 90% mental, the other half physical, you know what I mean? And honestly, I think it's more 95% mental. So mental visualization and talking to yourself positively is what I hone in on these guys. And, you know, I try to bring those good vibes out of these guys. And that's what I'm all about, is bringing your heart, allowing your heart to tell your mind, and your mind tells your body, just go play. It's a good time.
All right, well, let's go play. There's a big game coming up tonight, and that'll be on the air in just a couple of minutes. But that's all I've got for you questions-wise. Anything else you want to add before we end this pregame interview?
No, Austin, it's been a pleasure, and I'm excited about tonight. I know it's going to be a rainy one, but I hope to see a lot of fans out tonight and bring in that energy. Grab your orange, and let's ride, man.
All right. Excited to see how the guys are going to play. That first pitch coming up in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
And we'll go ahead and bring you right back here into the stadium as first pitch is just moments away. We're taking a little bit of time here as Coach Tom Zyglowski, we also call him Ziggy, he's on home plate right now talking with the visiting manager for Wausau about that pregame meeting. But in the meantime, while we get warmed up here at Witterfield, let's go ahead and break down these starting lineups for you. First off, with the visiting Wausau Woodchucks, Ryan Pruitt is going to be leading things off. He is in right field to begin the game. Josh McClintock, he's the third baseman for the Woodchucks tonight. He bats second. Charlie Longmire is batting third and is in left field. Dylan Schlotterbach is the shortstop. He's batting cleanup for the Woodchucks. Behind him, Nathan Ball is at first base. He bats fifth. Keegan Jerschley is the second baseman tonight. He bats sixth, batting seventh. It's Braden Mazzacona. And Mazzacona is a guy who's also listed as a pitcher rather than a batter. And Mazzacona hoping to continue proving himself as a hitter first before he gets onto the mound. Batting eighth, it's Jake Weatherspoon who's catching tonight. And batting ninth, it's the center fielder, Christian Smith-Johnson. That's the starting lineup for the visiting Woodchucks. They're going to be led out by Ethan Jezerski. And Jezerski, a guy for the Woodchucks, and you look at him, he is hoping to have a big first game for the Woodchucks. He's a right-handed pitcher from Brenham, Texas, where he went to Angelina College after graduating high school, a redshirt sophomore, and someone who pitched 2 seasons at Angelina. This past year was a little bit better than his first season, improving on his innings pitched and ERA, along with having a better whip on the season as well, and had more strikeouts on the year. A very good year all around for him compared to his first season, trying to take that step up and keep taking that step up here against the Rafters. And talking about the Rafters, let's get to your Rafters starting lineup. Beginning with Jack Guerrero, switching things up a little bit. He will be the first man up at first base. Brent Gallegos is the second batter of the Rafters starting lineup. He is in left field. Ashton Zacher bats third. He's sitting behind the plate tonight with Royce Clayton Jr. batting cleanup and in center field. Hiroto Kobayashi batting fifth in the game, and he is in right field as he's been all three games so far. Noah Ruiz back at second base once again with Luke Skinner at third. Pat Costin, who was the catcher last night, he is back to being the designated hitter as J.J. Garcia is at shortstop, and we are ready to go. The starting pitcher tonight for the Rafters, it's Drew Thompson, who takes the mound for the first time as a Rafter. The first pitch here at 6:35 is just a bit low for ball number one. So up at the plate, Ryan Pruitt, the right fielder. The 1-0 is barely going to miss, a bit low, to bring it to a 2-0 count. Pruitt, a guy who's hoping to prove himself for Wausau. This is his first game with the Woodchucks as that pitch misses high again, and we're quickly to a 3-0 count, and this is something you got to work on for the Rafters. They issued 16 walks in yesterday's game, and here's walk number one of the game tonight. Ryan Pruitt leading off by getting on base. And it brings up Josh McClintock. Drew Thompson has yet to pitch for the Rafters, but as a staff, they've really struggled with finding that control. They issued 5 walks in the first game, which not too bad. And then in game number 2, though, certainly was a lot more inconsistent with finding the strike zone. So a runner on first base, nobody out here in the top of the first inning. And the first pitch here to McClintock is in for strike number 1. McClintock, the third baseman for Wausau. And he's one of the guys that has had a few plate appearances. He is a two-way player listed on the roster as both a shortstop and a pitcher, as the pickoff attempt back to first is not in enough time. So keeping Ryan Pruitt on his toes over at first with an 0-1 count. McClintock from Dodge City Community College, as this one has popped foul and well out of play. Makes it an 0-2 count. McClintock, a native of Columbia, Missouri, where it just so happens that I go to college. Know the area a little bit up there, and so does Wausau's broadcaster, Matt Clark. Although he's not here today, he will be on the television side tomorrow. As here's a throw down to second on a caught stealing attempt. No, they can't put the tag down. Throw was nearly there. That was a good dish from Ashton Zacher, but just not quite in enough time to get him taking second. So a stolen base on a ball below the zone. It's a 1-2 count with a runner on second and nobody out. And Wausau, a dangerous team when it comes to stealing bases. That's one thing that they have done well all season long. Despite struggling to get base runners, they have been stealing the bases when they do. Drew Thompson falling off the mound and missing outside for ball number 2. Back to a 2-2 count, and the field a little bit wet here. It was drizzling a little bit earlier today, and that drizzle became a little bit of a rain at points, so the tarp was on the field for a while. Here's a chopper over to shortstop. Garcia is there. He's throwing across the diamond, but did not get enough pressure on that throw. He was going across diamond and had to throw across his body there. Wasn't able to muster enough power to get it to first. Kind of lofted in the air for a little bit of time, and it's an infield single for the Wausau third baseman. Runners on first and second as Charlie Longmire steps up to the plate. Longmire, a lefty left fielder. Thompson getting set on the mound. He holds his bat now. Firing on the pitch, Thompson misses inside to bring it to a 1-0 count. Longmire from the University of Evansville, a native of Seymour, Indiana, enters the game without a hit. Has reached base, though, with a 200 on-base percentage, as that one misses low for ball number 2. Thompson getting back to missing the strike zone here after having the infield single. That's where you want the ball to go, though, and went right to his shortstop, J.J. Garcia, and the field a little bit wet. maybe you push up a little bit in the infield as that one is right across the knees for strike number one. So 2-1 count to Longmire. And Drew Thompson, I was talking a little bit with coaching staff before this game as this pitch is fouled back. One of the things specifically that Eric Robles had mentioned to me when talking about his two-way potential is that he wanted to focus on this start before he got any at-bats. So we haven't seen him take any plate appearances yet, but we could in future games, maybe even after this start. But the focus so far has been on making sure that he gets his feet wet on the mound and ready to go, firing strong and hitting the batter here. Charlie Longmire on the 2-2 count gets beamed in the back, and now he's walking down to first base after the hit by pitch, and the bases are loaded with nobody out here in the top of the first. So three straight base runners to begin the game for Wausau, and it brings up the cleanup man, Dylan Schlotterbeck. Schlotterbeck from Paris Junior College, hoping to get things rolling along here. Thompson taking his time as he makes sure he's got the right pitch. And this one's hit to the right side of the infield. That gets on into right field for a single. One run comes around. A second run is coming from third home, and it's a 2-0 game here at Winterfield. Runners on the corners on the 2-RBI single from Dylan Schlotterbeck. And Wausau showing off their hitting ability. Charlie Longmire, the runner on third base. Schlotterbeck making it to first. Josh McClintock coming around to score. Ryan Pruitt coming around to score. Not the way that Drew Thompson had wanted his game to start here. Four straight runners reaching base from Wausau, and a strike that goes right across the plate for strike number one to Nathan Ball. Nathan Ball, the first baseman for Wausau tonight. The 0-1 is fouled straight back and commanding 0-2 lead in the count for Drew Thompson. And you look at Wausau, and it's really been a struggle for them offensively as well. They had just a 177 team batting average entering the game, although it was just over two games, but still had really struggled against Kenosha in the first two games. Runner taking off, holding up on the throw down to second, got him, throw back home is not in time because the man from third was taking off for the plate. He comes across to score. The runner at second is out though, and it's a 3-0 game with one away here in the top of the first. Well, they're going to say that the batter actually did go around on the swing. It would have been a ball, but he held up on the swing, so it was actually a double play on the strikeout where he was caught stealing second and the runner from third went home to score. So now the first pitch here to Keegan Jerschley is going to miss. No, it's going to be right across there for strike number one. The 0-1 count to Jerschley misses outside for ball number one, brings it back even at a 1-1 count. So a 1-1 count to Jerschley, the man from South Dakota State who swings and misses at this to bring it to a 1-2 count. And Thompson a little bit shell-shocked early in this one. A walk, single, hit by pitch, and a single. But then he battles back with a strikeout of Nathan Ball and now looking pretty good against Keegan Jerschley, but misses that pitch well wide and seemed like he fell a little bit off the mound there and he had to pick up his hat off the ground. Hopefully there's no dirt up in there. It's a little bit wet out here, so maybe got a little couple pieces up there. Don't want it to mess him up. 2-2 count with two away, nobody on. Top of the first, it's 3-0 Wausau. Rafters yet to get a at-bat. Trying to avoid falling to 0-3, and a big strikeout there as he gets Keegan Jerschley swinging, the second strikeout of the game for Drew Thompson. But three runs come around to score on two hits. Nobody's left on base on no errors. It's 3-0 Wausau in the middle of the first. Quick break, and when we come back, it's more Rafters baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Rafters Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
When it comes to heating and cooling homes in central Wisconsin, make the call to the Bullpen for Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. For more than 25 years, the Bryan experts have done whatever it takes to keep homeowners like you comfortable, from simple repairs and services to complete HVAC replacements and beyond. So no matter what you need, you'll know that their team has your back.
Need HVAC service now? Schedule yours by visiting comfortair.biz.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Now, back to more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Well, thanks for tuning in tonight. It's a cool 60 degrees out here in Wisconsin Rapids. A little bit cloudy, but it seems like the rain has passed us by for now. And, well, it's a 3-0 Wausau lead here after the first half inning. And the Rafters get a chance to see how they respond in the bottom of the first. Jack Guerrero, the first man up. He'll be taking on Ethan Jezerski. Jezerski, a right-handed pitcher from Angelina College, talked a little bit about him in the pregame lead-up, and Jack Guerrero is going to get the first chance to take him on. And the opening pitch is right across the knees for strike number one, brings it to an 0-1 count. Guerrero, the first time in the leadoff spot this season, watches that one miss outside for ball number one, and you can see behind the plate, Jake Weatherspoon, he flashed his glove towards Jezerski, said, hey, that's where you want the pitch to be, and well, you're not going to get Guerrero to chase much, and you do the same thing there, just missing a little below the zone, but again, it's a good pitch that you're seeing from Jezerski. Unless you know Guerrero, who doesn't chase, this time he sends it to the second baseman, who will softly toss it over to first four out number one. 4-3 on the putout, and it brings up the two-way player, Brent Gallegos. Each of these teams have a pitcher who's listed as a pitcher starting in the field. For the Woodchucks, it's Braden Mazzucano, and for the Rafters, it's Brent Gallegos, who's in left field today, as this one's hit right over to second base yet again. Soft grounder who will softly toss it back to first, and quickly, two up, two down for the Rafters. And they're getting ahead and trying to put these into play, and they're getting solid contact, but they haven't been able to get them to land. And especially when it's in the infield, you're not going to get it to whiz on by with the wet conditions out here, as Ashton Zacher steps up to the plate, left-handed batter going up against the right-handed pitcher. Two away, nobody on, as this one is fouled back into the netting right behind home plate and bounces off. Right over to Eric Robles, our pregame guest today. He's over at the third base coach spot. 0-1 count to Zacher. And this one, he got on top of it over to first, but it gets on by into right field. Couldn't be cleanly fielded by Nathan Ball, and Ashton Zacher is safely aboard at first. So a two-out single for the man from Southern Nevada, and it brings up Royce Clayton Jr. Now, I mentioned that Jack Guerrero, it was his first time in the leadoff spot. Clayton Jr. has been sitting pretty atop the lineup for the last two games, and he's picked up a hit in both of them. Trying to see if he can keep that hit streak alive as the first pitch to him misses away for ball number one. Ashton Zacher over at first. Royce Clayton Jr. at the plate. Two away in the bottom of the first. A 3-0 Wausau lead early on. This pitch is hit high in the air into right center field. This one's going back. This one hits off the bottom of the wall. Guerrero is over to... that's Royce Clayton Jr. who's over to second base. And a stand-up double for the center fielder sends Ashton Zacher over to third. But second and third, still no run scored for the Rafters. So a key opportunity for the Rafters here as it brings up one of the hotter hitters for the Rafters, Hiroto Kobayashi. Right fielder for him. He's also on a two-game hit streak as the first pitch misses inside for ball number one. And last game, Kobayashi did pretty well. 1-for-3 on the game, also drew a walk. Very similar to that first game of the season as he swings and has a foul tip on this one. Goes right back and makes it a 1-1 count. Kobayashi had scored one of the runs back in the season opener here at Witterfield as this one is a foul ball down the line. So moves to a 1-2 count as a little bit of time here behind the plate to get a new ball, and a lot of dirt will get on it whenever it hits that wet mud, you could call it. 1-2 count with two away, runners on second and third. Here's the pitch from Jezerski, and that one misses outside. It's way out, and it gets away from the catcher. Coming home to score is Ashton Zacher, and moving from second to third is Royce Clayton Jr. So the Rafters pick up a run in the first inning, and it's a 3-1 game now. Wild pitch from Ethan Jezerski. And Hiroto Kobayashi now with a 2-2 count, a runner on third base, two away. So still key to get a hit here, but the middle of the infield wide open. If he can get one up there, this pitch just outside. Not by much. And the count is full. Royce Clayton Jr. did score on a wild pitch yesterday. He was the one run that scored, as this one is fouled off by Kobayashi. Staying alive at the plate. And go back to game number one. He had reached base three times, although one of them was because of an error, but did a good job at kind of forcing that as this pitch is a little bit low for ball number four and a bit of a bat flip from Kobayashi towards his home dugout, and there's now runners on the corners with two outs. That's three straight batters who have reached base for the Rafters, and if you're going to make a comeback, that's how you do it. I say comeback, it's still early on, but the opposing team has scored first in each of their three games so far as a pickoff attempt back to first base to make sure that Kobayashi doesn't take off. I'd be interested to see how the Woodchucks play it with two speedsters on the base pads, one at first and third. If Kobayashi takes off, do they throw down to second? The Rafters could do similar to what the Wausau Woodchucks did in the top of the first with the runner taking off from first to second, and the guy from third going home as that pitch misses outside for ball number one. Noah Ruiz at the plate. Right-handed batter. Here's the 1-0. This one sent up the middle. That gets into center field. One run will come around to score as Kobayashi stays at second base. And it's 3-2 here in the bottom of the first. RBI single from Noah Ruiz on a 1-0 count, and all of a sudden, it's a one-run game here at Winterfield. Lots of offense early on here. A big difference from the game last night in Green Bay. And Hey, Rafters fans, you'll certainly take that. You'll love to see the bats getting active here, and brings up Luke Skinner to the plate. Skinner had a very different first and second game. That first game, he was one of the better hitters. He was working the count well. He picked up one of the few hits that the Rafters had and worked himself on bases. Kobayashi gets a little bit of a lead over there at second, but he's going to stay on as this is fouled back by Skinner. Skinner, the third baseman tonight, he's batting seventh in the order. Runners on first and second with two away. Trying to keep this rally going. Jezerski looks back to second, now fires. This one is ripped high in the air into deep right field. Right fielder's turning way out of here. You can kiss it goodbye. Booyah! It's 5-3 Wisconsin Rapids. This crowd is loving it, and the Rafters have taken the lead early in the first. Every piece of that baseball sent into right field, and Luke Skinner makes it 5-3. Oh, man. And we've been waiting for that first home run of the season, and it came at a beautiful time. Only the second extra base hit. Only the second player to have an extra base hit. Second extra base hit was hit earlier in the frame by Royce Clayton Jr. As this pitch is in there for strike number one to Pat Costin. 5-3 now in the bottom of the first inning, and no shortage of offense here as the breaking ball misses outside from Jezerski. Brings it to a 1-1 count. A lot of pitches coming here as this one is lifted in the air into left field, but should reach foul territory, and it does. Nobody over there to make a play on it. 1-2 count with two away. That's five straight batters that have reached base safely, thanks to Luke Skinner's three-run bomb over right field. The 1-2 count just misses inside and brings it back even at 2-2. Costin, the designated hitter, he's struggled a little bit here and there with his swings and misses in the early two games of the season, and staying patient at the plate sends this one to left field. He was a little bit late on it, though, and maybe trying to focus on his pitch selection. Costin, a left-handed batter. Here's the 2-2 count. Outside for no, they call that strike number three. Got him looking, and Costin will go back to the dugout, but not before the Rafters have their biggest inning of the season. They score five runs on four hits. They don't leave anyone left on base, and it is 5-3 Rapids. After one, we're going to have a quick break, and when we come back, more action for you here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Rain, rain, go away. I don't want to ride my bike to work today. Ugh.
Are you tired of riding your bike in the weather? Yes, they say if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. But why wait? Go down to 8th Street Auto today. Stop getting sick in the elements and drive away in a new car or SUV. Enjoy heated seats, premium AC, and comfort. Stay dry and drive away with a new ride from 8th Street Auto and Service Center today.
This May, you can have a chance to win it all during Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa's Mayopoly Mayhem. Earn entries for a chance to roll the dice in the Mayopoly Mayhem game, where you can win rewards play, lots of cash, and so much more. The better you roll, the more you can mayopolize on your winnings. You can have a chance to spin the Spinopoly wheel to win even more great prizes. It's Mayopoly Mayhem at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, your place to play.
Must be 21. See Ho-Chunk Gaming representative for more details.
Mornings on WFHR.
Nutella just announced its first new U.S. flavor in 61 years. The new flavor is peanut.
I could just see the boardroom, right, when they were doing this thing.
Oh, gentlemen, we have cornered the market on hazelnut and chocolate. We need something new.
Sir, how about we do peanuts?
Are you telling me you want to do something like peanut butter? That sounds revolutionary.
Brilliant!
Weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Let's get back to the rafters here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
The first home run of the season for the Raptors, it was Luke Skinner. A three-run shot into right field and made it a 5-3 ball game. After just one inning of action, all of a sudden 8 runs on the scoreboard between these two teams. Well, we'll see if Drew Thompson can make it more of a pitcher's duel. Here in the top of the second, he's going up against the leadoff batter, Braden Mazzucano. And the first pitch to Mazzucano is a little low for ball number one. Mazzucano, the designated hitter for tonight's game, listed as a pitcher on the roster, as that is right across the edge of the plate for strike number one. Brings it back even at a 1-1 count. Drew Thompson, similarly a two-way player, although he has yet to take an at-bat, as that pitch misses inside for ball number two. Expect to see Thompson takes a couple hacks a little bit later.